pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. Our guest today is Nirav Panchmatia, an AMFI registered mutual funds distributor, financial trainer, coach, TV personality, and now podcaster. He's a chartered accountant and an MBA finance from NMIMS, Mumbai. He's also done executive development programs from India's premier B schools like ISB Hyderabad, IIM Ahmedabad, IIM Bangalore, and IIM Indore. Nirav is also a certificate holder on advanced financial goal planning from the American Academy of Financial Management. The founder CEO of Om Financials, that manages and has till date distributed mutual funds worth more than 350 crores to 1,100 plus families spread across more than 27 cities in India and NRI clients in more than 18 countries outside. Nirav is a leading financial coach and a much sought after speaker, having conducted investment training programs across India. He's called the Warren Buffett of Nagpur and also the Warren Buffett of Vidarbha, as he has conducted more than 125 trainings pan-India on his favorite topic, Investment Secrets of Warren Buffett. Nirav has met his guru, Warren Buffett, more than two times and continues to be inspired by him. Listen in as Nirav shares his inspirational journey, the power of resilience, what women need to be more financially literate, and the inspiration from our epics, especially Draupadi. Hi Nirav, such a pleasure catching up with you after that conversation. Welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty.
Thank you, Rashmi ji. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast. And I'm sure we both of us are going to enjoy this conversation.
Completely a pleasure, because reading about you, hearing about you, and after speaking to you, I'm very curious. Your questions are very, very thought out and you speak very measured. Were you like this, a studious kid in school as well? What was little Nirav like to the Nirav that the world knows you today as?
So I'll divide my school life from, you know, nursery to eighth and ninth onwards. Okay. No, I was studious, but not the, you know, topper or that brainy or the nerdy type. No, I was not a backbencher also, but I was enjoying life till eighth standard. Okay. I came up well in the ninth and tenth standard when I happened to get, you know, there are always these teachers, one or two teachers who bring out the best in you. So in 9th standard and 10th standard, in fact, my marks in 10th standard were way 10% more than all my lifetime marks, right? That is the effect a good teacher, a good professor can have on you. So I was studious, but not nerdy type, not the class topper. In fact, I share a joke that my physics and chemistry teacher is standing with my geography teacher, and the physics chemistry teacher says, I'll introduce you to my best student. And the geography teacher say, let me introduce to my worst student. And it is the same person. Okay. So, it depends on what subject you are in. Yeah. Was studious, was measured. Yeah. But took life in school life as it came. It was in 10 that I became ambitious. I had a tuition sir. And suddenly I was the star of his tuition batch. And we had all the best students at that time. So people who attended the tuition with me at that time thought I am a topper. So I was a topper in five subjects, not all of them. Right. So English, maths, algebra, geometry, physics, chemistry. That was my domain. Other subjects, I was as average as they come. The people who would sit next to me in these subjects, they thought I am a topper. People who would sit next to me in subjects like geography, history will think that, you know, I am good for nothing. And I liked it that way.
Looking back now, what is it about, you said you were your physics teacher's favorite. So what is it about science that drew you more than social sciences?
So science makes you think. It makes you think in a disciplined way. So difference between science and the subject I am in my career today, the stock market and all, okay, this is more of an art and less of a science. Science has its principles laid down, okay, where there cannot be a gray area. It is either white or black, okay? So it helps you think in a proper way. If you know the laws of the science well, may it be physics or my favorite subject, organic chemistry, inorganic chemistry, may it be mathematics. The rules are crystal clear. So it helps you put things in boundary, okay? It helps you think. A science student coming to commerce will always think very methodically, and it always helps. So I was a 12th science topper, and from being a science student, I came to commerce. Okay. So a science student coming to commerce, I believe, I mean, I might be wrong, has always an edge. You have not studied 2 years of commerce. That is a different thing. But your method and your approach to the subject is very different.
After 10, was it just because you're a good student, you took up science? It was like a very automatic choice and there's no thinking about it that made you move to science. Was that the reason you went to science, or it is your teacher who drew you into it?
So coincidentally, fortunately, my maths teacher, my physics teacher and my chemistry teacher, they were all very good. So PCM, what we called at that time, physics, chemistry, maths. I naturally happened to be good. And students at that time choose what they are good at. This might, I mean, what I am going to say might sound counterproductive. Choose what you love, not just because you're good at. A 16-year-old will choose what stream to go, believing what he or she is good in 10th. Okay. Life is much broader and much bigger than that. Yeah. I'm so glad I didn't turn out to be an engineer and doctor. Nothing against them, but I'm very happy where I am. And I used to look down upon commerce and arts students, which is also not good.
Yeah.
Now I'm a huge fan of liberal arts. Okay. But my science upbringing, 11, 12 doing science. Okay. And I would recommend that even a student who wants to take commerce or any other field should take 11th, 12th as science, because that grounding happens. There are these principles which are taught. Even today, my thinking got developed in 9th and 10th and 11th and 12th. Even today, it helps me in my arena as a financial planner.
Okay. Wow. So here is the science student, brilliant in science, took the subject because he was good in it in 11th and 12th. And it was a given that all good students go to science. And if you're good in science, nothing like it. So very naturally, the next choice after 12th is engineering or medicine. How did you switch to commerce?
So here's the googly. I appeared for IIT JEE.
Okay.
And that was the year CA Foundation was launched.
Okay.
So my uncle convinced me, thankfully, to also appear for CA Foundation. So CA Foundation, I'll tell you what the new thing was. Earlier, if you had want to apply for CA, you had to be a graduate. Okay. Now the new rule came at that time, it has again changed, where after 12th, if you clear CA Foundation, you enter the Chartered Accountancy course. Now, here's the suspense. I didn't crack IIT JEE because there was no coaching class in my town at that time. Although being a very good science student, you still require a lot of guidance. Okay, thankfully. And I cleared CA Foundation.
Medicine was not an option.
I was not good in biology, ma'am. Rashmi Aji, I was not at all good in biology. That thought never crossed my mind. And before that, if I can take you to school days, what I wanted to become was a pilot.
Okay, so you need physics, chemistry, maths for it.
Yeah, I wanted to become a pilot, and then somebody said, you know, you've got spectacles and all that stuff. There's physical fitness required, this, that and all. So I said, okay, IIT is where I'm going to go. And I didn't clear IIT JEE. I cleared CA Foundation and I liked what I was studying. And the rest is history. I went on to become a chartered accountant.
This is so beautiful. Sometimes we decide on a different path and life has its plans chalked out. So you were very clear right there that you're not going to try other engineering colleges and you're just moving in the direction of chartered accountancy.
Yes, I know it sounds strange, but life took its course. I started liking chartered accountancy. And in engineering, I was not very sure because I couldn't become a pilot. I thought I'll become an aeronautical engineer. It was like a revenge thing, right? Yeah. Fortunately, I didn't clear IIT JEE. So I said, let's take chartered. I liked what I learned in CA Foundation and all. And it happened naturally. Today only, when you're asking that question to me, I am thinking why I took that course. But that is the best thing that ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. I am made for the field that I'm practicing right now. Had chartered accountancy or CA Foundation not happened to me, I don't know whether I would be so good at what I am doing. So this is what I'm made for.
Wow. You know, this on reflection, these moments are when we realize that there is a force behind which is planning stuff for us. Yes. And we think we are sitting there planning it all. Okay, so here you are as a student who's cleared CA Foundation and you decided to take your course. So at that time, you didn't have to parallelly do a BCom. You could straight away get into the line of CA. What was the steps to becoming a chartered accountant? You didn't need graduation?
Of course. No, you need, because chartered accountancy is considered as a post-graduation course. So you needed a BCom. Mm-hmm. I did a BCom. But if you ask me today, if I had to...
You didn't find it difficult?
Never. No. I mean, see, CA is couple of notches above BCom. Mm. So what a chartered accountancy student does is that he goes to the coaching class and he just sits for the exam. So in my 3 year of BCom, I would have gone to the exam center for the number of days the exam is conducted to my college. That's all. Okay. The chartered accountancy student need not study for BCom. But if you ask me today, I should have taken BSc and not BCom. That would have been difficult. Uh-huh. But it would have further honed my skills, the scientific mind out there. It would have developed my scientific temper all the more. It would have been very difficult. But that would have been a deadly combination.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
So you give a lot of hope to BSc students to say that
it's
never too late to get out of the chartered accountancy path.
You realize that this is not the profession you want to select. You studied the subjects, whether it is science, arts. In fact, I've become a huge fan of liberal arts today. Mix and match all the subjects. Mm-hmm. So after Warren Buffett, if I'm a fan, I'm a fan of a gentleman who just expired, known as Charlie Munger. And mm-hmm. Charlie Munger, who expired at the age of 99, one of the best brains in the world of investing, along with Warren Buffett. Say he's a huge fan of liberal arts. I mean, you do not silofy, you know, science, commerce and arts. I am very much against that. Why can't I study organic chemistry with accountancy, with law, with music? Why can't I do that? And if you go back, you know, I podcasted on my podcast channel, Dr. Radhakrishnan Pillai, who's known as the Chanakya of modern world. Yeah. And he said the liberal arts thing was very natural to India in our ancient education knowledge. Every subject was taught to every student. Mm. So I am strictly against silofication and a huge fan of liberal arts.
Wow. Okay. Good. It actually makes sense because that's how education is given to students outside India, where the first year, whatever subject you choose, you kind of get a feel of all other subjects because you're too young to understand what you're cut out for. And a year of introduction allows you. So now coming back to your journey, because here you are a BCom student parallelly doing your chartered accountancy journey. And it was only reaffirming that you were cut out for this path and you were moving in this direction. Did you have time for any hobbies, passion, anything that started in school that you continued in your college and your journey then on?
Unfortunately, no. The chartered accountancy course is very hectic, you know.
Okay.
So I made it a point for my children. I'll say, don't do chartered accountancy. don't go for IIT. Don't go for NEET. There'll be many people who will be very angry with me. Okay. There are other paths you can apply for. There are other ways to achieve the same success. Okay. Mm-hmm. Life is not only entrance exams. Okay. Is it worth that grind? Huh. Chartered accountancy gave me that grind, you know, that hard work attitude. Now you give me any subject on planet Earth, and I can read that and understand and comprehend that subject. That training happened. But whatever practical knowledge I learned there, is it practical to me? I'm not a practicing chartered accountant. I never practiced for a single day. Being a wealth manager, you need not be a chartered accountant parallelly. Okay. So, no, I didn't have any time for hobbies, and hence it makes your life very monotonous. And I'd like to add for the benefit of your viewers that in chartered accountancy, although till 12th I was a top ranked student in chartered accountancy, I failed multiple times and I'm not ashamed of it. It is very normal. It is very natural there. And you have to keep giving attempt to a extent that, you know, sometimes you do get slightly depressed.
Yes.
Okay. So that is the hard and the negative part of chartered accountancy. But there's no harm in failing and reattempting. That I can tell you.
Yeah. That's very true. In fact, many moments of life, you know, and especially in that very young age, that tender age of 17, 18, 19, 20, when you're just trying to understand life, failure becomes such an important part of the way we look at life, and we are disappointed with any small failure. And we realize only much later that those failures are hardly anything. But to get that attitude of it's okay, there is some more. Did you have chartered accountancy in your family, as in accountants with you? How did your uncle
Zilch.
Even think of asking you to write that exam then?
So my dad was a businessman. I lost him way back when I was seven. My uncle was, I come from a businessman family. Panchmatiyas in Nagpur are a very big family we have. If you do a small get together, we have 100 people.
Okay.
All businessmen, except for my immediate family, where one of my other uncle is a doctor, eye specialist, and my aunt is a dentist. So that education string is there. But nobody before me was that highly educated in my family, except for my doctor uncle. Nothing to do with chartered accountancy, but my uncle's friend was a chartered accountant, and that is why I come to know. And let me tell you, you know, for the benefit of, or to motivate the new students, imagine till 12th, from 9, 10th, 11th, 12th, you are a class topper. You're doing very well in your subject. I got some 96, which students will laugh at today, but at that time it was considered good in PCM at that time in 12th. And then you fail in CA. So let me tell you, that hits you very, you know, below the belt. It is not easy. I've never failed in life.
Yeah.
And here I keep failing. Although it is common in chartered accountancy to fail. It was common at that time, at least, because the passing percentage was very low. By the way, let me tell you, Rashmiji, I failed. I cleared all the four subjects and I got 199, whereas the total requirement is 50%, 200 out of 400. So it is very, you know, very cruel.
Yeah.
The system was very cruel. You should not be that cruel, you know. Total nahi aaya, isliye aap fail hoge. But it hits you when you have never ever failed. Forget failing. We have never got less than distinction in your life. But you should go on, carry on, and you should finish what you have started.
Nirav, here I want to ask you this question, because this is something that I see as a facilitator and a coach with the corporates. I remember in one office when we had a training program on leadership, and we were talking exactly on this. Toppers in a small town who gets into IIT, and IITs have the cream of the country coming together. And there was this guy who was sharing the same incident, where I've never, forget failing, I've never gone below the first three ranks in my class. And I enter IIT, and the first semester, I fail. I just needed one teacher. Now looking back, if one teacher had said, no, you have it in you, you can top again, maybe things would have been different. But for
100%.
Me, there, nobody was there. So all I kept aiming for then on is to pass, not to top. And a topper, I felt becoming an average performer. So that triggered just now when you were talking about yourself, that thought triggered. So for you now, being a topper all through, and you failed in your attempt for CA, what did you tell yourself to write the exam again?
See, I don't, no. I mean, there was no other option. Let me tell you, I come from a business family, lost my father when I was seven. So I knew one thing, that we had a family business of sugar. We were wholesalers of sugar. And that is one place I never wanted to go. Okay. So if you do not want to join a family business, there is no alternative. Okay. So when you're pushed to the wall, you there's no place for negative thinking. You have to work hard. So I knew the only way for me to be a success in life is education. Period. Okay, and education can take me throughout the world. Education can make whatever it can make out of you. There's no upper limit if you are educated enough. So then, I mean, failure, it is depressing. You want to give exams again and again and again. That's okay. But wo clear karna hi hai. That thought never crossed my mind that I will leave it in between. Now, when I go back, okay, maybe if there is some other student, I'll say, if you don't clear one, two attempts, leave and do something else. Because it wastes very expensive years of your life, very precious years of your life. But that time, that thought never crossed my mind. If I've started it, I have to complete it, period.
Okay, so here comes the next question. So I don't know whether you want to answer it, but how many attempts did you take to clear your child account?
Oh God, you want to tell it out there? 7, 8, 9. You know, by the way, let me tell you, along with my chartered accountancy, when I was not able to clear my final exam, I'll answer that question, no harm. If that motivates students out there, ki itni bar fail hoke bhi koi successful ho sakta hai, let it go out. Okay, so I'll answer that question. Final attempt, I was not able to clear one group. So there are two groups in intermediate and final. They call it something else today. In that process, I appeared for the entrance exam for IIMs, okay, because I had been given an ultimatum from my uncles that if you do not clear now, you'll have to come and sit at the shop, which I didn't want to do. It motivated me. I had only 3 months left, appeared for CAT, again, without preparation, without guidance. Appeared for NMAT Narsimhanji aptitude test, and I was an all India topper in that entrance exam. Got an admission into Narsimhanji. At that time was ranked, NMIMS was ranked 7th best school after immediately after IIMS, along with SPGN and all. Got an admission there, kept giving that attempt throughout my 2 years of MBA. So we were 6 or 7 of us who were chartered accountant, half chartered accountants, okay, which is almost like a bad word, okay, like a gully. So we were all about, had to clear one more attempt, kept giving attempt, completed my MBA, became MBA first, took a job with Citigroup Investment Banking, and with Citi, I did a tuition class. I'll tell you a wonderful thing about that coaching, and then cleared my CA. CA karte karte beech mein MBA bhi ho gaya, aur CA nahi hua tha. The answer to your question, around 8-9 attempts, probably more, I don't know. I failed 8-9 times and still I am where I am. And I am not shy in admitting that. Let that go out to all the students who can fail and still become successful in life. Don't be depressed. That word should not be in your lexicon. Continue karna hai, continue karo. Alternate path lena, alternate path lo. Lekin, or in fact, Rashmi ji, ek cheez mujhe batana. To school mein purposely ek rule aana chahiye, if I become the education minister, ki compulsory har saal sab bachcho ko fail karo koi na koi subject mein. फेलियर सिखाओ उनको. फेलियर ज्यादा सिखाता है. दे से ना, फेलियर इज अ गुड टीचर, सक्सेस इज अ बैड टीचर. तो वी कीप हियरिंग दैट आईआईटी एग्जांपल ऑफ योरसेल्फ दैट यू गिव. वी नो स्टूडेंट्स, हु आर द स्टूडेंट्स हु कमिट सुसाइड इन आईआईटीज एंड आईएम्स एंड ऑल, स्पेशली आईआईटीज. कभी फेल नहीं हुआ और अभी फेल हो गए. अरे इट्स अ डिफरेंट प्लेटफॉर्म, इट्स अ डिफरेंट फील्ड. फेलिंग इज नॉर्मल देयर, ओके. बट उसको व्हाई मेक अ टैबू आउट ऑफ दैट. एंड हु, इनफैक्ट आई यूज्ड टू जोक, आई हैड अ फ्रेंड हु क्लियर्ड सीए इन फर्स्ट अटेम्प्ट. I cleared in multiple attempts. I said, my fund has a clear than you. I studied the subject multiple times. You studied it only once. Anyway, I can give you a ride for your money. So failure should be made compulsory. Girna sikhai hai. Cycle kaise sikhte hai? Swimming kaise sikhte hai? Chalna kaise sikhte hai?
Yeah.
So, sorry, it was a long answer.
Very important answer nevertheless, because there's one more quote that I've heard. In a graduation evening, the chief guest, while talking, had said that it is the backbenchers of the class who go out in society and start companies in which the front benchers work.
Possible.
Because at the back, they've already tasted failure. They have had all the risks to be taken, and they know it doesn't matter, which the front benchers are very scared of. And that's how... Yeah. The risk factor helps them later when they get out into the wide world. And you answered the question that I had coming up in my mind about where you got your resilience from. About one was your the work you did not want to do. You're very clear about that. But were you also clear what you wanted to do? Were your is clear to you?
No, not at all. And that's what, again, I want to give a message now I got that clarity very late in life. So now many students, many parents bring their student, you know, wards to me, the children to me. भाई इनको क्लियर नहीं है क्या करना है. और इफ इफ अ स्टूडेंट टेल्स मी एट 16 और एट 18 आई एम वेरी क्लियर व्हाट आई वांट टू डू, आई डाउट इट. मे बी देर आर अ फ्यू एक्सेप्शंस. ओके एट 18 कम ऑन, हाउ डू यू नो? यू माइट नो दैट यू वांट टू गो टू आईआईटी. सो आई से यू नो इफ यू वांट टू बिकम अ पर्टिकुलर प्रोफेशन, लेट्स से यू वांट टू बिकम अ हार्ट स्पेशलिस्ट और अ न्यूरोसर्जन, गो एंड लुक एट द लाइफ, स्पेंड वन डे विद अ न्यूरोसर्जन. Tell him I'll assist you in whatever way possible. Do you like that lifestyle? Just because you like biology doesn't mean you want to be a doctor. That is a myth. Just because you are good in maths in 10th doesn't mean you should be a financial planner. Yahan alag type ka maths lagta hai. Okay? So 10th ka maths alag hota hai, 12th ka alag hota hai, graduation ka alag hota hai. Practical life mein is very different. So no, I was not clear, and I am not at all ashamed at admitting that. So I use something which in multiple choice question, we are taught law of elimination. So when you are given four choices, we were taught that two are completely redundant. So you can cross the two, right? Now the fight is 50-50% between the remaining two. So after I did my CA, I did my MBA, I worked at seven different corporate jobs. And every time I changed a job, okay, I ensured that I took a job which was very, very different from the earlier one. And I was trying to discover what I like. First job, didn't like it. Second job, Citigroup Investment Banking, hated it. Third job, corporate finance, didn't like it, not to my liking. Fifth job, not to my liking. The last job, 3 months I worked in a company, okay, and I realized this is what I can do for the rest of my life, and which is what I am doing today. Financial planning. Wealth management. That is what I was made for. Equity investing. So it was trial and error. It was iterative. Life is iterative. Very few people have that kind of clarity. And that also changes when life throws you different googlies. So why be in a rush to discover, find your calling, take your own time.
That's very true. But you know, it's easier said than done in hindsight.
I know. Yeah.
Because a lot of us today are not doing anything related to what we studied in college. We've gone on different
200%.
And our journeys have been very varied than what we set out.
Rashmi ji, that justifies my point, right? Hmm. So when you do an MBA, an MBA finance batch, so you have people from all fields. There are doctors, there are engineers, there are people from advertising. What are you doing in MBA finance? So they've realized ki graduation to ho gaya hai. Okay. Lekin this is not what I want to do for the remaining part of my life. So that's what I'm saying. Take your own time. Let us not pressurize the students. Aap batao, aapko kya karna hai? Aapko clarity chahiye, wo padosi ko hai. Clarity, wo mere dost ke ladke ko clarity hai, aapko nahi hai. Wrong. Kisi ko clarity nahi hoti. Bahut kam logo ko pata hota hai pehle din se kya karna hai. So it is iterative. Keep trying until you hit the target and you know, okay, fine. This is what I love doing day in and day out. Because Rashmi ji, if you do not love in today's competitive world what you like, if your hobby is not your work, you will find very difficult to be competitive.
True.
My hobby is my work. I don't feel I am working. Nobody asked me to work. I'm a business owner. I'm a practice owner, right? But my family has to pull me out. I have my office on the ground floor and my residence upstairs. They have to call me, keep calling me. Up upar aajo. Client chala gaya kam. I feel whenever I'm sitting on my computer, I love doing what I'm doing. I don't feel I'm working. I might be lucky. I know you are wise in hindsight. But then I want others to understand this. Ki find your calling. Start with why. Take your time. No pressure.
Very well said. Start with your why. And going back to your why, once you cleared chartered accountancy, I'm sure you had a huge sigh of relief. And one check was, okay, now I don't have to go to the shop. But then what was the next checks you had to do to realize getting into wealth management? Because today that's a term everybody understands. Yeah. But I'm sure at that time it didn't have a terminology, but it was called something else. And how did you get into that space? Were there a lot of wealth managers in India? How did you choose that space? And you quote Warren Buffett very often. In fact, you're even called the Warren Buffett of India by your friends.
People call me Warren Buffett of Vidar, Warren Buffett of Nagpur. Okay, let me say, I would
okay,
love it tomorrow.
That.
10 years lie in the line.
Okay, so I stay Warren Buffett of Nagpur. How did this entire wealth management fascinate you? And why didn't you leave Nagpur? You grew up there, you were there with a qualification like yours, an MBA from Nasimonji and a chartered accountant. I'm sure the financial capital, Mumbai, must have been the most lucrative place for you. But what drew you back to Nagpur? Can you take us through that journey of how that clarity came to you that you're not going to shift out?
So again, okay, again, one more accident. So before that, can I mention a small incident? Okay, so sure. did my MBA finance, took first job, took second job in city. Mind you, I'm still not a chartered accountant. I'm a half chartered accountant. Then I was failing in one subject and there was this professor who was super good at it. Now my working hours were 9 a.m. in the morning in city, in investment banking, till 10:30, 11 in the night. Believe it or not. Okay. And no teacher would teach you during those hours after 10:30. I figured out he was a bit greedy about money. So I gave him 5 times the money and he taught me from 11 to 12 in the night. 4 months, I did that coaching and then I aced that subject and cleared my chartered accountancy. So that was my journey. I literally begged him and I said, aapka fees kitna hai? Let's say his fees was 10,000. I paid him 40,000-50,000. I said, spend 11 to 12 in the night with me and teach me. He was kind enough to do that. He was very good. I aced that subject. I was a topper in that subject compared to all other subjects. And I cleared chartered accountancy. That's how I became chartered accountant. 1 year after I became MBA and in my second job, along with my job, I studied that. And there's one more incident. I was a PG at that time. Why I'm telling that is not to, you know, boast about me, but let other people know and get that motivation. So if I would be at 11, so there was a cutoff time, 10:30 band ho jata tha PG. So there were many days in a week where I was sleeping outside. So I have my own small story to tell. The lady would be, and I had to cover that 11 to 12 tuition no matter what. I became a CA, worked in investment banking, I started my journey with Tata Administrative Services, which is considered the equivalent of IAS in government, okay? So in the private sector. Reported as an executive assistant to the MD of a company known as Tata Honeywell, which is now Honeywell India. Now, I was very young at that time and first non-IIM person to bag that particular job. Before that, Tata's never recruited anybody from a non-IIM college. So that was also a feather in my cap. After that, most of the jobs that I took, I only reported to either the MD or the chairman or the CEO of a company. How did it help? People who are at the top think very differently from people in the middle management. And in my entire corporate career, I never worked at middle management or at the lower management. I only worked at the top, including reporting to Mr. Kamath in ICC Group. My boss was his executive assistant. He needed one assistant. So we did work only for Mr. Kamath there. Now, in my sixth job, I landed. So I did corporate finance, didn't like it. I became an EA, didn't like it that much, but it taught you a lot. Did investment banking, hated it. And in my sixth job, after passing out from my MBA in chartered accountancy, I worked in a company where I did wealth management and I did mutual funds and I did financial planning. And I instantly realized that this is what I'm made for. 3 months in the job, I quit. Now, when I quit, I had many options. To start, I earned my own in Bombay, to shift to Hyderabad, and I had already by that time a flat of my own in Mumbai, which itself is a big achievement, right? Having your own place. And I was very comfortable. I was living in an area known as Mahavir Nagar, Gandhivali West in Bombay. Loved that area. My family loved that area. But when I quit, I had already worked so much, logged so much. I was done with Bombay, done with traveling, done with the corporate life. And I took a call to come back to Nagpur, my hometown, and start as a financial planner, as a wealth manager. We were called that at that time. Now we are called as MC registered and FDs. Okay. And started on my own. So it was not a very rational decision. Mind you, my first turn came in life when I left science, came to commerce. Second, I left CA, went to BA. Third, I kept quitting jobs. I kept getting another job. And then I was doing very well in terms of salary in Bombay. So anybody would have called that a success at that time. I would be earning crores by now. If I was working there, I'm earning more than that today. Okay, left everything. And that is the best decision, second best decision I've ever taken in my life after moving from science to comms. What has worked out pretty well for me. When you work on your own, when you start your own outfit, no matter how small, you discover yourself, you rediscover yourself. In a corporate world, I believe you're silofied. ये आपका डिपार्टमेंट है, ये आपका रोल है, ये आपने करना है. यू आर वेरी यू वुड बी वेरी लकी टू गेट अ गुड बॉस हु कैन यू नो अप्रिशिएट व्हाट यू आर डूइंग. देयर आर मेनी स्किल्स यू माइट हैव. इफ यू आर अ फाइनेंस गाय, मे बी यू ऑल्सो हैव अ मार्केटिंग स्किल, यू नो हाउ टू टॉक टू पीपल. मे बी यू हैव एचआर स्किल्स, यू नो हूज. बट वेन यू स्टार्ट योर ओन आउटफिट, अ स्मॉल ऑफिस विद वन स्टाफ, यू टू डू एवरीथिंग ऑन योर ओन. दैट ब्रिंग्स आउट द बेस्ट इन यू. इफ यू हैव इट इन यू, यू शुड ऑलवेज स्टार्ट ऑन योर. दैट इज माई रिकमेंडेशन.
You could have still continued having your own business in Bombay or in Mumbai, as it's called now. But what made you shift? Wasn't the fear lurking somewhere that if I shift to Nagpur, will my clients be the same? Will the profile of my clients change? There was no fear factor within you. Was that fear factor not there? Because you said you had given up practicing chartered accountancy. That was not the part that was of interest to you. You were already in wealth management. And those clients were all within the city. And here you were planning to go back, leaving a job, a cushy job, which gave you everything. You could have still stayed on in the city and been on your own. What prompted you to go back home?
That's a good question. You know, I believe nature has always guided me. Okay. In fact, I'll tell you, I am the harbinger, a flag bearer of, you can come back to Nagpur, leave your corporate job at the peak. Okay. Leave a, you know, for finance guy, there's only one city in the country, Bombay, Mumbai. Sawali nahi utta. There's no two thoughts about it. And we still debate in my family. I would have been a much bigger wealth manager had I continued in Bombay. The ticket size is 5x, 10x of what you have in Nagpur. But I'll tell you the hack of that also. Now, but it just happened. I was done with Bombay in one stroke. There was no, I'm a finance guy, but there was no scientific analysis that I did. And then I'll quote Mr. Amitabh Bachchan in Khuda Gawa, ki bahut jyada mat socho, soch gehri ho jaye to decision weak ho jate. Okay, bahut jyada mat socho. Sometimes there is a calling. Came back to Nagpur. I had a place here, started my practice. Now, today also, I have more clients outside of Nagpur than in Nagpur. I have client base in 17 countries abroad. I have clients in 27 cities in India. Okay. So how does me physically locating in a particular city a deterrent? Yes, for my TV shows, I have to come to Bombay. To meet the mutual fund guys, I have to come to Bombay. I understand that. But then I'm also enjoying the laid back. I can do 5 meetings in a day in my city or 6. Which metro person can claim that they can do 5 or 6 meetings in a day? So the best of this life, and whatever we're missing in metros now has come to smaller towns. But yes, it was not a very well thought out decision. Would I recommend that to other people? Probably no. I would have been much bigger had I been in Bombay. But I enjoyed life. I believe the corporate life was also started taking a toll on my health. That was also a reason. I don't recollect what exactly, but hote hote cheeje hoti hai. I am not a very structured guy. In my practice, I am very structured. When I'm managing your money, I'm very structured. In real life, in my practical life, I don't, sometimes I just go based on the calling. I've always had a calling. I don't think twice. I don't look back. Once I decide, I go with it.
How would you define success? Since it's completely based on what you spoke now. Speaking about the clientele, which is spread to 17 countries, and you still say that had you been in Mumbai, maybe you'd have had a greater client base, and still you don't regret not staying in Mumbai but coming back here. So what is success according to you?
That's a very, very, very good question. Success is not like in my field, how big you are is measured based on AUM. Success is not, I'll tell you what it is not, and then we'll come to what it is probably, okay? Still figuring it out. Success is not how big you are. You're number one, you got so many awards, you come on television, you've written books, all that stuff. That is a part of it. See, these are all means to an end. Success is also beyond a point, not money. Like I've been blessed with that ability, never compare myself with anybody. I believe if you compare yourself with your colleagues or anybody, that means you're somewhere suffering from inferiority complex. You're telling कि उन्होंने जो किया वो मैं नहीं कर सकता हूँ या मैं नहीं कर सकता. क्यों नहीं कर सकते यार? आपने कभी उतना एफर्ट डाला है? उनका एफर्ट देखिए यार, आप अपना एफर्ट डालिए. तो only a inferiority complex person will compare himself or herself with other people, whether it comes to what position he or she is holding or what salary he or she is drawing. People who are drawing 10 times more money or earning 10 times more money than you are miserable. So wo to successful nahi hai. Your career is one part of your personality and one part of your life. It is a means to an end, it is not the end in itself. तो वहां तो सक्सेस नहीं है कि करियर में. हाँ, फेलियर नहीं होना है, अपने कुछ करना है, घर चलाना है. यू शुड अर्न इनफ टू टेक केयर ऑफ योर फैमिली, प्रोवाइड फॉर द फाइनेंशियल सिक्योरिटी, डन. एंड एवरी पर्सन, इवन इवन अ पुअर गाय डज दैट, इवन अ वेरी रिच गाय डज दैट. बट डोंट मेक इट अ हैबिट कि मनी का एक गोल मत रखो. व्हेन आई हैव सो मेनी करोड़ इन द बैंक देन आई विल बी हैप्पी. मे बी यू विल नॉट बी अराउंड ओके टू एंजॉय दैट काइंड ऑफ वेल्थ. देन देयर इज फैमिली. सो यू आर अ कंप्लीट फेलियर. Okay, if you paid so much attention to your career, okay, that you didn't pay attention to your family. The joy of bringing children up, spending time with them, okay, that is a wonderful thing. When they are kids, being around them, shaping them, you are going giving one or two human beings to the planet. उनको तुम कैसे treat करते हो, उनको तुम कैसे human beings बनाते हो, that is important. Then now. See, I'll tell you, I am at a stage of my life after COVID and after some incident recently, I have revisited everything in my life. And again, I am at a turning stage in my life. And I believe, are you here only to take care of your family? Everybody does that. Even animals do that. Big deal. Go beyond that. At least help 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 individuals who have nothing to do. Not your friends, not your relatives, not your family. Can you provide for them? Are you so small that you're only going to provide for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people? Life is much more than that. What plus is plus you give? What was your contribution to society? It sounds very, you know, like a politician and all, but I believe in that. Aapne kya naya additional ye diya hai? To success ye hai ki, there's a very cliched ye ki, did you leave the planet better than what you were? Did you change or affect 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lives beyond your family? Did you bring up your children well? Were you a good husband? Were you a good son? Were you a good brother? Were you a good parent? वो भी है, वो भी सब करते. उसके beyond, आपकी family के beyond देखो ना. Imagine a world where everything, everybody is thinking only about their family. It will be a very, very bad world to live. There are people, there are good Samaritans who have affected thousands of lives. The great saints have affected millions. But आप दो लोगों को तो affect करो आपकी life के beyond. So that, according to me, is success. वो आपके ऊपर इतना हावी नहीं होना चाहिए आपका करियर कि वो ही सब कुछ ले जाए ना. पूरा फैमिली पे डिवोट करना है, उसके बियॉन्ड सोसाइटी में भी. सो आई एम, आई डोंट नो, इट इज नॉट रिफ्लेक्टिंग माय सीवी. एसोसिएटेड विद आर्ट ऑफ लिविंग फाउंडेशन सिंस लास्ट 24-25 इयर्स नाउ इन डिफरेंट कैपेसिटीज, राइट फ्रॉम द टाइम व्हेन आई वाज अ स्टूडेंट. एंड इट हैज बीन अ वेरी स्ट्रॉन्ग फोर्स इन माय लाइफ. इफ यू आस्क मी रश्मि जी, SQ is more important than EQ and EQ is more important than IQ. मैं IQ को थर्ड लेवल पे रखूंगा. और IQ बच्चों में आजकल इनबिल्ट है, थोड़ा ज्यादा ही है. Let me tell you, IQ is in abundance. IQ इतना important नहीं है जितना EQ है. If your boss insults you, colleague puts you down, we've not been taught how to deal with this kind of situation. If you fail couple of times, okay, if your project does not get approved, if a client rejects you again and again, how do you handle that? And then SQ, when you're pushed to the wall, when you are sick, when you are not able to do what you want to do, then what? Then SQ comes in the picture. So success, according to me, is ki how much contribution you have done beyond your circle of influence. Uske bahar jaake, aapne ek life bhi change ki hai, toh you are successful.
Wow, this is beautiful. Beyond your circle of influence, what you've done. Now coming to that point of circle of influence, what gives you that title of Warren Buffett of Nagpur?
Okay, so somebody somewhere would have introduced me like that. So I've been visiting, and in May, coming May, I'm again going to visit Berkshire Hathaway. Berkshire Hathaway is the company of Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is based again in a small sleepy town. No, one of the you know one of the motivation for me to come to a sleepy town back to Nagpur is Warren Buffett, who's considered the god of stock market investing, operates from Omaha, not from New York.
Yeah.
A normal thinking will say, okay, the majority will say, you are in stock market, you manage the biggest portfolio on planet Earth, you should be New York. He says, the father, I am from New York. There's a technical term in engineering and in finance known as noise. I am away from the noise. Wo day-to-day awaaz nahi chahiye mujhe. Because if I am buying a stock for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, how am I concerned ki day-to-day kya ho raha hai? So that was now, that answers that question, why did I come back to Nagpur? Let me stay away from Bombay, yet my life revolves around Bombay stock market. So having attended Warren Buffett for so many years, I started coaching about Warren Buffett. I have a topic, Investment Secrets of Warren Buffett. I would have covered that topic more than 120 times. I've taken more than 120 talks, seminars on Warren Buffett style of investing across India. So it just happened. Somebody labeled me like that and people started introducing me like that.
So that's a nice title to hold.
So a wonderful title, and I equate it to our epics Mahabharata, ki Arjun became Arjun because of Dronacharya.
Yeah.
Karna became Karna because of Parshuram. So I believe in today's world, on your YouTube, on your mobile phone, you can listen to the best stock market brain in the world sitting here. And I can also physically visit him. Okay. So if I wanted to understand stock market after I become a wealth manager, a financial planner, okay, which was a term used at that time, so let me learn from the best, not the second, not the third best, the best in the world on planet Earth, not the best in the country. And this is the message I also want to give to the youngsters. Apne field ke number one ke paas jao. Number two mein bhi mat jao. Don't go to the second guy in the country or in the city. Go to the best in the world and learn from him. See, Warren Buffett has been compounding wealth at 65 years, at 20% per annum. No person ever in future, I can give you in writing, will ever be able to do that. You might ask me, aisa thodi, aapko kaise pata kal koi great aayega? 65 years wealth manage karne ke liye, aapki age 85 years honi chahiye. 20 years to chahiye start karne ke liye. Ek to long life hona chahiye. Achha, there are many people who over a 10-year period, 20-year period have written Warren Buffett, but then they give up. They do very well. They do double of what Warren Buffett does. 25th year, may they retire in their career. Okay? 65 years wealth manage karne ka motivation chahiye. 85 years ki age chahiye, is 94 today. And he says, I tap dance to work. There's a book, Tap Dancing to Work, on Warren Buffett. So that is what motivates me. And by the way, Rashmi ji is a wonderful human being. He has taught me more about life than compared to about stock market. He has very basic needs. Doesn't change his car, doesn't change his frame, the spectacles that he wears. A very simpleton man, yet he can buy all the, you know, properties in the world.
Yeah.
So
that's true. That's true. So since he's somebody who is so simple and grounded, and you've spent time with him and listened to him so many times, in one statement, can you put his learnings or his philosophy of life? Because anyway, you've done 120 talks on how investment.
Wow. Still, it is one of the toughest questions, right? You want to sum me up, you know, if you ask me, speak on Warren Buffett for 5 years, I can do that.
Yeah.
Saying that in one line, be grounded, be grounded. See, I believe stock market is like a person who is like a rishi, like a saint. He can become a very successful stock market investor. I believe Warren Buffett is like a saint of India. Very grounded, the market ke ups and downs, life ke ups and downs unko affect nahi karte. Okay? And if you can stay away from the noise, jo bazaar mein chal raha hai, jo popular opinion hai, if you can have your own thinking, if you can think for yourself, and even the experts, even people who think who are your teachers, even if you don't, in fact, you know, there are cases when I've gone against Warren Buffett's advice. So there was this stock that Warren Buffett bought. So I bought it. He sold. I didn't sell. And I made money. He's God. For me, he's God. Yet I have my own mind because it is my own money. So that is one statement. Be your own self, be grounded, and be humble. And a good human being can be a very wealthy individual.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And talking about wealth, you're anyway into wealth management. There is one area, Nirav, that we as women are usually pointed fingers at, saying that we are not good wealth managers. Our mothers, grandmothers used to manage wealth so well that the end of the month when there is no money, they'll pull it out of some secret space in the kitchen or under the bed. Because I remember my mother used to keep money, cash stacked up there for any emergency. So what is it about women? And is there something that you have as a tip or something that women should remember as far as wealth management is concerned? Because today also there are a lot of us as women who think that's a male bastion, and if the men in the family take care of that, I don't have to know. But today it's a life skill. Finance is something that all of us should know. So if there are some things, or at least two things, you'd like to tell the women around how and why wealth management is important, what is it that they should definitely remember? What will they be?
Thank you, Rashmiji, for asking that question. Here is my statement on woman and money, woman and wealth management. Let me tell you, it is my personal goal in life to make women financially literate. Okay, it has nothing to do with my practice as what I do. It is way beyond that. Because they say if you teach a woman, you impact two households, right? A father's house and her husband's house. Second, on balance, other thing being equal, women are better investors than men. It is a myth created in our society that men are better at managing money. It so happened that men happened to manage money. I manage money for 1,100 families across the world. And I can tell you, men are no better than women. If I have to give one notch, one point more to either of the two, I'll give it to a woman. Because, and I said that in a seminar, Financial Literacy for Women, that I conducted yesterday. Because the first quality of a good investor is patience. Who is more endowed with patience? Tell me that. I'm not talking about a trader and a speculator. Again, it is a myth, Rashmiji, that you have to be good in math. Only formula that you should know is compound interest, which is taught in 5th standard or 6th standard. If you understand compound interest, if you understand power of compounding, and if you understand time value of money, that money tomorrow is compared to money today has different values. If you can understand these two concepts, koi aur math ka subject karne ki zarurat nahi hai. On balance, women are better. It's just that women have not been exposed to this subject. It is my personal goal in life to make women financially literate. Women have started earning money, sometimes more than the husbands. Okay? But who'll take your investing decision? My husband, my father, my brother. Are you earning money? It's your money. It's time now we teach our daughters that you have to be financially independent. And if it is your money, you manage it on your own. Don't rely on him. Okay? And if need be, tell him I can manage your money also. But my money, I'll take my calls. It's time we teach the youngsters, the teenagers, the generation Gen Z out there, especially if you're girls, aap apna paisa khud manage karoge. Financial planning skills should be taught in 9, 10, 11, 12th in school, college before they go out in the big bag world. That is my thinking.
And how do you choose your wealth manager?
How to choose your wealth manager? Great. One, he has to be a good person. Ask him all the questions, all the probing questions, him or her. Don't be shy. So, you know, first question I ask somebody is, the prospects who come to me, who is managing your wealth? Mr. XYZ, Miss XYZ. Generally, it is Mr. Unfortunately. What is that guy's education qualification? And my prospect says, I don't know. I said, come on, if you have to go to a doctor, will you not cross-check what is the education qualification of the doctor? So in the world of money, why do you entrust money to somebody whose education you don't know? So the qualification in India to become an insurance and a mutual fund agent is 12th pass in cities and 10th pass. That is so bad. Your advisor, your wealth manager, whatever term you use, should be way more educated and experienced than you are. So one, first check the ethics. Let's say he or she is very highly educated, but he or she is not ethical. Now, how to find ethics? Aap aadmi ko pehchanna sikho. How do you select your friends? How do you select your better half? Same rules apply here. You will be able to judge talking to him or her a couple of times that person is good or not. Okay, ethical or not. Because an intelligent person who is non-ethical is more dangerous to you. Okay, just because he or she is qualified doesn't mean he's ethical. So rule number 0, not 1, is ethical. Aadmi achha hai ki nahi wo jaan. Second, educational and work experience. Wo poocho. Fourth, ask him or her the question, what's in it for you? Why are you chasing me? How much are you earning from me? Now, either that person will give the right answer or the wrong answer. You will come to know because you can always cross-check it and Google that. So that person had to tell you how much he or she is going to get out of you. And if he or she tells you the truth, then go ahead with that person. These are very basics. Ask questions. You have a right. You're entrusting your money to somebody. Why are you ashamed at asking the questions? Ask how qualified you are. Give me some references. Do all the channel checks. But first, even if they tick all the boxes and if they, you feel that they are after your pocket, after your wallet, least interested in you as a person, do not entertain them.
Especially now with the age of social media, there are so many fin influencers who are there. And many, many, many in the public are carried away by those YouTube ads and the other shorts and reels that you see that they put out. It is a bit confusing for people to know who is good, who isn't. So in such cases, how do you filter out the ones who really know their job? Because as a layperson, I wouldn't know whether the person is speaking the truth or not. So is cross-checking with a qualified CA or wealth manager a better option?
Good question. Not an easy answer to that question. How does a girl select a boy? Okay. Is there a science? We are never taught. It's not a science, right? It is more of an art. There are many things you observe, right? Many things you observe, a girl observes in a boy and only then gives a thumbs up. I think, I know it sounds out, but these are the principles that apply here. Anybody who over-promises, who promises you the sky, makes tall promises, it's a big no. Because in the big bag world of investing, there are certain factors in your control, many factors not in your control. So if you come to me and say, what returns you promise me? I say, I'm not neither allowed by the regulator to promise any return or guarantee any return. Neither do I know because things can happen. A COVID happens. If a COVID happens, can I promise you very good returns? No. I can indicate returns. So anybody who over promises or makes tall promises, it's a strict no. Anybody who talks too much about himself or herself is a strict no. Again, the same principles how you choose friends. Anybody is too arrogant, overconfident. In our stock market, they say if you're overconfident, the stock market will show you your place tomorrow morning. Okay? So these are the basics that you check. Okay? That is one of the ways. The way your girl selects a boy, the way you select your life partner, the way you take your life decisions, take your own time. And sometimes, you know, it is the fault of the investor. You like people who tell you that I'll make too much money for you. You know from inside, from your heart. And here I'll say, bring your heart into the picture rather than your brain. Aap jaan sunna chahte ho, let's say one advisor tells you, I'll make 20% return per annum, which is very, very difficult. Another says 12. So I have a philosophy, under promise and over deliver. So many people, you know, it's a turn off for them. They run away. The other guy is saying 20. Are just because that person is saying 20 doesn't mean he's going to deliver it to you. Bolne ko koi kuch bhi bol sakta hai. So basic human traits pe aap usko evaluate karo. Unfortunately, in the world of finance, it is an economic incentive that decides. See, if I make tall promises and I convert you, let's say I'm representing a big institution, my boss will ask me, you met Miss Rashmi, did you convert her? Now, in my practice, there's no boss who gives me a target. So I can let go of clients. In fact, I let go of more clients than I take them. If I do not gel well, if your personality doesn't gel with me, I'll not take you as a client. It's okay to let go. Similarly, ek gaya to dusra milega, dusra gaya to tisra milega. Take your time. First, find out whether he's a good human being and is your interest aligned to his or her interest. Wo aap dono ka interest aligned hai kya? These are rare species, but you'll get there.
Okay, and now that you brought COVID, COVID is something that hit all of us in different ways. Yeah. But all of us have been affected by COVID personally, professionally, but it made us look at life very practically. We have lost some, we have gained a lot as far as life lessons are concerned. And each of us had reflections from COVID. So I'm curious to know your reflections from COVID.
Oh, Rashmiji, that is a very sensitive area because I happened to visit ICU 3 times during COVID and I've seen death at very close quarters. Not only people around me, but for me also. And I'm very, very fortunate, very lucky to be alive and talking with you right now. So it changed me completely. It changed me completely. Other side of COVID, I can divide my life story before and after COVID. It affected me a lot. And it made you think, it made you revisit. See, I am the only breadwinner of my family. So I had a very tough time at the fag of on first time in my life, I was afraid of something. I was afraid to meet people in the first wave and second wave. So I literally locked my house. Because I have two beautiful daughters, I have a wife and I have a mother to take care of. Not from my own perspective, but because they are fully dependent on me. I have already provided for them, but still they need me around, right? That affected me. So it did have an effect on me mentally initially and then also physically. It changed me completely. In the third wave, I got admitted in a hospital and my oxygen was 85. And I asked the doctor, the nurse, why are you not giving me a bed? I want oxygen immediately. He said, there's a dead body next to your bed. I said, I don't care. I don't want to become a dead body. And immediately she said, if you don't mind sleeping next to a dead body, we will take you. I said, no problem. I don't want to become a dead body. There were 15 people when I got admitted. This is third wave when people would started moving out when the masks came down. Okay. This was the last admission in that hospital also. And I saw 5 deaths during my 15-day stay there. Fortunately, I was the fastest to recover, came out of it. But it does leave a scar, you know, on you. And it changes you. It makes you rethink life. So whatever I'm doing right now, man, it is a bonus for me.
In fact, recently somebody was saying this is the 4th anniversary. 2020 March was when it was a complete shutdown globally. And we are in the 4th year, 4 years down the line. COVID is in the background, but all of us are changed individuals. Yes, I think all of us need to be grateful for the air we are breathing now and the fact
yes.
that we are alive. Looking back at your journey and the twists and turns and the turning points, are there some milestones or highlights that you would like to recall fondly?
There are many. One, let me tell you, Rashmi ji, it feels that I am done and dusted. Let me tell you, I have not even done 20% of what I am here to do. Okay. Sure. My journey has just started. Sure. Even after COVID, I attended a college course and it changed me completely. Something happened. Maybe 5-10 years down the line, you call me back and then I'll tell you the latter part, which is more interesting than what I've gone through. Okay, the first milestone was when I was 7, lost my dad. And let me tell you, he shaped me completely. 7 years with him also, I don't even remember the face now, but he shaped my personality. I had to mention this. My grandmother, my grandfather, they shaped me completely. The family that I belong to, I'm very proud of being born to a family, to a parent that I was born, to grandparent that I was born. Our family was always and still it is always looked up to. So when you have that kind of background, so if you know, when I was 7, when I was 10, 12, 16, when I would visit anybody in my town and they'll ask me whose son you are. And when I say I'm Surendra's son, they'll stand up and greet you. And he was 29 when he left me. So he left an indelible mark on the city, on the town. Even at the age of 29, he was managing a household of 11 people. Nobody else was earning in that family. I still don't think I have lived up to his expectations. Okay. So that shaped my personality a lot. That was the first milestone. Only thing I would ask God again is that he should have been around with me to see what I made, whatever little I made of myself. Second is when I turned from comm science to commerce. This is a guy who looked down upon commerce people and ended up making a career in commerce. Third is going to MBA. It was like a bird coming out of a cage, not anymore under the protection of the family or under the restriction of the family. You're on your own. That shaped me. Another stage was leaving Bombay and coming back to Nagpur and starting as a practitioner, started my blog, started coaching. Rashmiji, one thing I'll tell you, I'm a born teacher. I'm a teacher and I'm a preacher. Now I'll turn a preacher. And I would like to be known as a teacher of the epics. Okay, I want to develop courses on my field. I can talk any day. You wake me up from the middle of the night, I can start speaking on Warren Buffett and stock market and mutual funds. That is done and dusted. Koi badi baat nahi. I want to now start developing courses on Mahabharata and Ramayana. I am developing a course on Draupadi and teach the woman of the world what personality Draupadi was. इवन आई एम आई बीन रीडिंग महाभारत ऑल अलोंग, और मुझे उनका ये एस्पेक्ट नहीं पता था दैट ही वाज सिंगल हैंडेडली मैनेजिंग द किंगडम ऑफ इंद्रप्रस्थ. शी वाज द फाइनेंशियल प्लानर, शी वाज द फाइनेंस मिनिस्टर ऑफ इंद्रप्रस्थ, शी वाज एवरीथिंग. दे से शी न्यू एवरी सिंगल इंडिविजुअल इन इंद्रप्रस्थ. एंड वन ऑफ द रीजन वाई दुर्योधना वॉन्टेड इंद्रप्रस्थ इज दैट एवरीबडी वॉज लीविंग हिज किंगडम एंड मूविंग टू Indraprastha, because Draupadi never ate before every single individual citizen of the country of Indraprastha ate. She manages so well. When Yudhishthira and the Pandavas wanted to attack somebody, they would ask Draupadi, is it a right strategy? Once Krishna and Satyabhama visited Draupadi, and Satyabhama noticed, he asked Draupadi, all your husbands are so much taken by you that they keep staring at you all along. It's been years that you all are married. Every question that Krishna asked to Pandavas, the Pandavas looked to, and knew they were themselves Devaputras. They were very intelligent, they were very ethical, they were very strong, they were very sharp. Yet they would, Draupadi was the whom they would look for advice for every single major in their life. Why so? And Draupadi said, I don't know. But you know, earlier they used to consult Kunti, now they consult me. So what kind of personality this lady was? I believe the woman of today, the girls of today should look, study Draupadi and take motivation from that. I know this is Jara Hatke, nothing to do with our ye, but I'm developing a presentation on Draupadi, on Sita, on Gargi, who was Draupadi's teacher, the valiant woman of India that students are not aware of. Let that be a motivation to everybody.
Wow. So we are in that part of the conversation, the last part where you leave us with three life lessons that you think, I know there are many from whatever we have spoken. I'm sure you have many, but three of your top life lessons that you'd like to leave us with.
So nature is the best teacher and nature has a lot to teach you. Don't think very narrow. If you're a student, you think about the next exam you hear. Once you become a graduate, you want to think about career. Once you have had your career, you want to think about the next money goal you have, and life passes by. We are not born only to have a good career and all that. That is a means. Please try and understand. Life is much more than that. The first lesson. Second, be humble. Be of use to other people, not only in the family. Be an example. Be a good example to people. Try to be a good example. You might not be a very popular person. Try to help 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 people. Try to change lives. Life is much more than earning money, much more than career. Yes, I am never saying don't compromise on anybody. See, if you want to do charity, you have to be financially strong. If you want to help anybody, you have to be strong. So first rule, you should be strong. But before strong, be good. So you should be strong and good. Like Rashmiji, I'll tell you, you don't have to do anything wrong in today's world to make money. Let me tell you that. कोई फ्रॉड, कोई स्कैम, किसी को झूठ तक बोलने की जरूरत नहीं है. यू कैन हैव योर ओन प्रिंसिपल्स, मेंटेन योर ओन धर्म एंड येट बी वेरी सक्सेसफुल इन लाइफ. यू डोंट हैव टू कट कॉर्नर्स, यू डोंट हैव टू कॉम्प्रोमाइज. हैव योर प्रिंसिपल्स, हैव दिस मिनिमम कि इसके नीचे मैं नहीं जाऊंगा. उसमें थोड़ा सा कॉम्प्रोमाइज हो सकता है करियर के साथ में, बट एट द एंड ऑफ द डे, 40, 50, 60 years later, 70 years later, when you look back at your life, what is it that you want to? You know, what legacy you want to leave behind. That is important.
Beautiful. I think if every one of us thinks of the legacy, we live our life far more responsibly. Go a little deeper vertically to understand how we can make a difference. An honor having you, Nirav. This conversation has been so beautiful. Thank you for being on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Learned a lot. And with all your courses and upcoming courses that you're planning, both for women, and I love the Draupadi aspect.
Yeah. But I love to talk about them, especially the girl child. I'll tell you what, I also wanted to pass on this message. My objective in life, my calling is to do good for the girl child. So then you have to give them an example. We don't have enough good examples around us. Hence, I went to our epics. These were real human beings who walked the earth.
Yeah.
Okay. So can we learn from them and can we develop a modern career? So again, I'm going to take a call which may throw away all that I've achieved till date. Yet I am willing to risk it and start anew. So with motivation from people like you, Rashmiji, I'll go ahead and do it. Thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me this platform. I wish Godspeed for your platform. It's a very good thing you started this podcast in COVID. And I think talking to people, bringing them on your platform, you're giving a good platform to them and people who are going to listen and get motivated. It's a wonderful thing. Thank you for having me.
All the very best, Neera, and shine on. With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.